would you please give me your attention for about 30 minutes as I talk to you on this subject, the pattern in the mount. Now, Holy Spirit, as best I know how, I yield myself to you. I wish I could do it better, but I do it as best I can. And I pray that you'd help me to be what my people need and these precious visitors need today. Help us to feel like we've been to church, and help us to be different just in some way than we were when we came. Holy Spirit, breathe on me and upon these who sit in these pews listening to me today. In Jesus' name, amen. May I beseech you your rapt attention for these moments. I believe that you'll learn something, and I also believe it may well benefit your life. God called Moses to Mount Sinai, and there Moses received not only the tablets of stone on which were written the Ten Commandments, not only the law that God gave him in the mount, but Moses returned to his people with instructions for building a tabernacle. It was unbelievable how detailed these instructions were. Every little part of the tabernacle was described in detail. I mean, not only what to build, but what kind of wood to use, what kind of cloth to use, what kind of curtains to make. Every detail was given by God to Moses. The gold, the silver, the brass, the purple, the scarlet, the linen, the goat's hair, the ram skins dyed red, the carved cherubim, the spices, the curtains, the hooks, the light, the scent, the type of wood, all in detail, down to the very minutest detail. Not only did these instructions include everything that was visible in the house of God, but they included everything that was invisible in the house of God. He told him what kind of nails to use. He told him what kind of hooks to use. He told him what kind of wood to use. Every little detail. Now, the question is, how did God give him these instructions? Now listen carefully. Here's the sermon. God gave him these instructions by showing him a tabernacle that was already in heaven. Now listen. God said, Moses, let me show you what I want. And God pulled back the curtain of heaven and said, Moses, there it is, right there. You know, that's so much better than saying, this is what I want. And I'll tell you what I want. He said, I've got a pattern, and I want you to see the pattern. In fact, it says, about called this tabernacle in heaven, the true tabernacle, not made by man, but made by God. Now, in the tabernacle on earth, there was a laver. That means there was a tabernacle in heaven in which there was a laver. In the tabernacle on earth, there was a table of showbread. That means that in the tabernacle in heaven that Moses saw in the mount, there was a table of showbread. In the tabernacle on earth, there was a golden candlestick. That means in the tabernacle in heaven, there was a golden candlestick. What God said to Moses was, I want you to come up on Mount Sinai. I want to show you a tabernacle that's in heaven. Then he said, I want you to look at it and take the instructions down and build me one just like it on earth. It was built from the pattern in the mount. Now, this is true for all things. There is a pattern in heaven for all unborn things in life. A pattern. Did you know I hold in my hand a copy of this book? The Bible's, some people often say, boy, Moses gave us the Word of God, the first five books. No, the first five books of the Bible were written before Moses was ever born. And the truth is, they never were written. They always were. You see? So, this book was given to man from the pattern in the mount. The tabernacle was given to man from the pattern in the mount. I want you to hear me. Everything that God does on earth is done after a heavenly pattern. That means that everybody, every baby born today in this world has a pattern in heaven after which that baby is supposed to build his life. There was a heavenly tabernacle after which the earthly tabernacle was supposed to be built. Now, if the Old Testament tabernacle and the Old Testament temple had a likeness pattern in heaven, then don't you think the New Testament temple would also have a likeness pattern in heaven? I'm saying that that the things which make the future on earth are already complete in heaven. And when the future comes, its task is to match those divine ideals in heaven with earthly realities, and to put into perfect, tangible, and visible shape those things which already exist in heaven. That means before I was born, God had a pattern in heaven of what He wanted me to be and to do. So I am supposed not... Now, by the way, Moses could have said, I can build a prettier tabernacle than that. But how pretty the tabernacle is wasn't the issue. The issue is, how did it conform to the pattern in the mount? Moses could have said, I can build a bigger tabernacle than that. But God did not want a bigger tabernacle than that. God wanted a tabernacle exactly according to the pattern in the mount. You see, God had a heavenly pattern for that structure, and God wanted every detail of that structure on earth to be built according to the pattern in the mount. Now, if God had a pattern life for me, I don't want to live and miss the purpose of God for me. I cannot comprehend. I absolutely cannot begin to comprehend the how you people can live not knowing that you're being and doing what the heavenly pattern intended for you to be and to do. I can't comprehend people to whom the will of God means nothing. I can't comprehend people who just want to make some money in life or want to make some fame in life. I can't understand that. I mean, when the God of glory has in heaven a pattern for my life, and God says, come to the mount and see that pattern. And I look up and I say, that's what God wants me to be like. Now, to me, that's my joy in life, is trying to be according to that pattern. That's my fulfillment in life. That's my fun in life. That's my satisfaction in life. And I can't comprehend you people that have no concept whatsoever of what God intended for you to be. We sing the song, only to be what He wants me to be every moment of every day. Yielded completely to Jesus alone. Every step of this pilgrim way, just to be clay in the potter's hands, ready to do what His Word commands, only to be what He wants me to be every moment of every day. Well, you say, preacher, how can I know what God wants me to be? It's the pattern in the mount. God said to Moses, build me a tabernacle. Now, a child is born. That child is born, its lessons are yet unlearned. Its tasks are yet untried. Its discoveries are yet unmade. Its loves are yet unloved. Its growth is yet ungrown. And yet that little baby born this morning at 6:21 in St. Margaret's Hospital, that little baby has a pattern in heaven for exactly what it's supposed to be. And when that life is ended, when that little life, little Caleb Jack Hefner, when that little life is ended, now you hear me now, that little soul
born in St. Margaret's Hospital. I guess St. Margaret's this morning was St. Margaret's, John? St. Anthony. That little soul born this morning, someday, must stand before the God that breathed into its body the breath of life today. And the only issue, when that little Caleb Jack Hebner stands before God, the only issue, the only question will be, did you, Caleb Jack Hebner, fashion your life after the pattern in the mount? No, you don't have a right to be what you want to be. No, you don't have a right to do your own thing. No, you don't have a right to choose what you are. No, you don't have a right to choose where you live. No, you don't have a right to be that thing that you want. No, you don't have a right to work where you want to work. No, you don't have a right to choose your vocation. No, you don't have a right to choose your college. You are going to be judged someday by the God of glory according to one purpose. How near did your life conform to the pattern in the mount? Not how much money you gain, not how much learning you attain, not how much attractiveness you had, but one simple question. How near did your life conform to the pattern in the mount? Now the truth is, Moses could have said, come down, and Moses could have built a beautiful tabernacle. He could have said, God intended for me to build a tabernacle. Now I saw the pattern in the mount, but I believe I can beat that. Oh, you poor penny ante ignoramus, thinking you know more about happiness than God knows about happiness. Thinking you know more about contentment than God knows about contentment. Well, one fellow said, long ago, I can't comprehend. He said, I'm going to move from this area because I just don't like this area. That's as carnal as homosexuality. That's as carnal as alcoholism. That's as carnal as cocaine and heroin. I mean, you have no right to say that. You only have one right. Listen, the God of glory has a pattern in the mount for every single person that walks the face of this earth. And our standing before God someday will be to answer for one thing. How near are our lives to that pattern in the mount? Moses could have said, I don't want any old dirty animal slain in this house of God. That's going to get blood on the floor. But Moses didn't have a right to build it according to his own specifications. He was supposed to build it according to the pattern in the mount. Moses could have said, I'm not going to make this out of brass. I can find something prettier than brass for this brazen altar or this brazen laver. But Moses had no right to pick anything prettier than brass because God showed him the pattern in the mount. Men could have come and praised Moses' tabernacle. They could have praised his architectural originality. They could have praised his constructing ability. They could have praised his building prowess. They could have praised his ornate decoration. But it doesn't matter how pretty the tabernacle is. It doesn't matter how big it is. It doesn't matter how long it is. It doesn't matter how wide it is. The only thing that mattered was, did Moses follow God's instructions and build it according to that pattern in the mount? The pattern in the mount. Now, this is the sad thing about life going bad. Somebody said, how sad. What a sad thing. Fella became an alcoholic. Isn't that sad? Now, it's sad that he becomes an alcoholic, but the sad thing about it is they didn't build his life according to the pattern in the mount. And God never intended one bottle of beer in that pattern of your life in the mount. And God never intended one soap opera as a part of that pattern in the mount. And God never intended one dirty movie as a part of that pattern in the mount. And God never intended you robbing him of the tithes and offerings as a part of that pattern in the mount. And God never intended a disco and rock music as a part of that pattern in the mount. Some of you visitors are saying right now, I knew you'd do it. I knew you'd do it. I knew you'd say it before you got through. Yes, and I didn't want to disappoint you, and that's why I said it. It's time that God's creation realized that we were fashioned by the hands of God Almighty. And He breathed into our life, our bodies, the breath of life, and built us according to His own image. And God in heaven has a pattern for each one of our lives. And that's all that matters. That's all that matters. His pattern for my life. Now, that doesn't mean that every wasted life is in a flop house on Skid Row.
Some people are tragedies who wear stethoscope around their neck because God did not have that as their pattern in the mount. There are some people whose lives are failures who argue a case in court because that was not the pattern in the mount. There are some folks who are failures who work in a factory because that was not the pattern in the mount. Why, it's entirely possible for somebody to pastor a church and be a failure because it was not a part of the pattern in the mount. It's possible for a person to sit at the president's desk at the bank and be a failure because it was not a part of the pattern in the mount. And I want to serve notice on you this morning that you'll never be as happy in your life as you will be that day you find and fulfill the pattern in the mount. And you'll never have as much fun as you'll have that day you find that you're fulfilling that pattern in the mount. If God in heaven thought enough of me to have a pattern of my life existent in the glory land, and that God has a plan and a pattern for me, how foolish I am to put my little knowledge against His knowledge. How foolish I am to pit my little wisdom against His wisdom. How foolish I am to pit my choice against His choice. Let me tell you something, brother. The happiest folks in this world are the folks who live according to this book and according to God's will for their lives. Don't you let the Hollywood crowd deceive you. Don't you let the television crowd deceive you. Most miserable wrecks in this world are those people. I don't care what you are. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care how popular you are. I don't care how strong you are. If you are not living according to the pattern that God has for you in the mount, then you're a failure. You're a failure. You're going to face God one day not to tell Him how handsome you were, how pretty you were, how much money you had. You're going to have one single question to answer, and that is, how closely did you conform your life to my pattern in the mount for your life? It's also worthy to note as to the location of the tabernacle. Not only did God say, this is what I want it to be, look up here, Moses, I want you to see this pattern of the heavenly tabernacle, not fashioned with the hands of men, but my hands. Now He said, Moses, build one just like it down there. Then He said, Moses, I want you to look at this word. He said, build one just like it down there. And then He said, by the way, Moses, I've got a pattern up here for your life too, and I want you to build your life according to this pattern in the mount. But that isn't all. God said to Moses, I want to not only tell you what to build, but I want to tell you where that pattern ought to go. So He said, when you get that thing built exactly as I tell you how to build it, according to this pattern in the mount, He said, then I'm going to give you a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Now He said, once you get that pattern built, I want to tell you where that pattern ought to go. Now He said, Moses, you have no more right to build that tabernacle according to your own specifications. Then you also have no more right to take that built tabernacle where you want to take it. Now, Moses could have said, or could have built the tabernacle on the Mediterranean shore. Or he could have built it on the beautiful banks of the Nile. Or he could have built it in the tropics of Jericho. Or he could have built it on top of beautiful, for situation, Mount Hermon. But he had no choice to do that. Not only did God give him the pattern for that tabernacle, but God said, you have one way to please me. And that is, I'm going to give you a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And He said, your only right is to follow that pillar of cloud. That tabernacle that I have told you how to build, it also will go where I say it ought to go. And that means you have no right to decide what you are, and you have no right to decide where you are. Rather be in the ghetto in Brooklyn, in the view of the cloud, in the tropics of the Caribbean, beyond the cloud's view. Rather be on Bowery Skid Row, in view of the cloud, than to walk Hawaiian shores without seeing the cloud. I know about the soot in this area. And I can't see very far, maybe because of the soot, but I can see the cloud. I know about the recession in this area. I know about the unemployment. I know about that. And I know this is not the scenic spot of the world, but the most beautiful spot in the whole world for me is where I can get a good view of the cloud. And God took that cloud. He did not take it on the shores of tropics bliss. He did not take it into the beautiful islands of the sea. God did not take that tabernacle to the scenic spots of the world. He took it out to a barren old wilderness. And God said, Moses, you keep that tabernacle following this cloud. And he did. And it fulfilled his purpose. And you, as the New Testament tabernacle or New Testament temple, have no more right to decide where you live, no more right to decide where you go, than Moses had a right to take that tabernacle to Spain or Italy or Russia. God decided what you're to be and gave you a pattern in the mountain. And God decides when you become what you ought to become, He'll decide where you go. I know about the snow in the winter. I was here one winter before. This will be my 23rd winter, 24th winter here in this area. I know about it, but neath the slush and through the snow and through the blizzard, I can get a clear view of the cloud. I know about the zero weather. Don't you grab too much. This humid weather will be corrected soon. I know about it. I know about it when you can't blow your nose because it's froze. That put antifreeze up your nostrils. I know about that. Let me tell you something. I 10,000 times for the breathe the sun in the summertime and face the blizzard of the wintertime and slash through the snow of the wintertime and know that I can see the cloud and enjoy the mountains of the west or the tropics of the Caribbean or the beauty of the Hawaiian Islands or the comfortful temperature of the Southland. And not be able to see the cloud. But you say, Brother Hyle, it was easy for Moses. It was easy. Now listen carefully. You say it's easy for Moses. I mean, God took him up on the mountain and said, Moses, here it is. And there, right there, there it is, Moses. And God showed Moses exactly what the tabernacle ought to be like. There was an earthly, Moses built an earthly laver because there was a heavenly laver. And Moses built an earthly altar because there was a heavenly altar. And Moses built an earthly mercy seat because there was a heavenly mercy seat. And Moses built a heavenly cherubim because there were, Moses built earthly cherubim. There are heavenly cherubim. And he could see it. There it was, right there. Moses, look at it. But how, if I could see my life, what I'm supposed to be, like Moses saw the tabernacle, I'd be that. Oh, you would you? To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, all I ask, to be like Him. As Cindy used to sing it, all through life's journey, through hill and valley, all I ask, to be like Him. God in heaven's given us that pattern in the mount. That pattern in the mount is God Himself come to earth. And better than Moses, God said to Moses, Moses, come on up here to glory. I want to show you the pattern in the mount. And God said to fallen people like us, He said, you don't even have to come up here to see it. I'll just come down there and show you what it's like. And God became flesh and came to earth to show us how we ought to love. It was the pattern of the mount, of Mount Calvary, of the Mount of Olives, of the Mount of Temptation. God said, come in the time of temptation and see the pattern as I took the word of God and fought the devil and resisted temptation. God said in times of bereavement, in times of sorrow, He said, come to the Mount of Olives, come to Gethsemane, neath the stars of the night, walk the Savior of light in a garden of dew-laden breeze. Not my will, but thine be done, cried the Father's own Son as He knelt neath the old olive trees. He said He wanted to know what to do when you're sorrowing. He said, come up to the mount, and I'll show you a pattern, and I'll show you how you can do it. And He said, if you want to know how to live the crucified life, come up to the mount. Come to Mount Calvary and see me die and see me buried and see me rise again. And I'll show you how you can die to self
and live the resurrected life. Listen, Moses didn't have as good a pattern as I have. Oh, to be like thee. Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy goodness, come in thy sweetness. Stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Now listen to me, listen to me. If the city of Hammond ever gets to see the love of God, the pattern in the mount. Did you know Moses got to see that pattern in the mount? But the only way earthbound people could see it was for Moses to make a replica of it. Nobody on earth could see it but one man. That was Moses. He could have gone up there and said, come back and say, I saw it. This is what it's like. I want to tell you. It was 150 by 50. Had two rooms and a courtyard. In the courtyard, there was a brazen altar and a brazen laver. And in the first room, there was a golden candlestick and the altar of incense and the table of showbread. Had a big veil, 7 inches thick. And inside that veil was a mercy seat. But that won't do it. Listen, they didn't want to hear what it was like. They wanted to see what it was like. And this old sin-cursed world doesn't want to hear what Jesus was like. This old sin-cursed world needs to see what Jesus was like. It was beautiful. It was marvelous. It was wonderful, this life of Christ. When he saw hungry people, he fed them. When he saw cold people, he clothed them. When he saw lonely people, he comforted them. When he saw sad people, he cheered them. When he saw sick people, he healed them. When he saw people who were lonely and people discouraged, he encouraged them. It was a wonderful life. But something was very sad about that life of Jesus. The sad thing about the precious life of Jesus Christ was that it was confined to one little part of the world, one little country about 60 to 80 miles long and 40 to 50 miles wide. Russia never saw him. Germany never saw him. Italy never saw him. England never saw him. America never saw him. Canada never saw him. The United States never saw him. That's so sad. And so God created a wonderful plan. God made a plan whereby every country in the world could see the life of Jesus. God made a plan whereby every state in every country could see that marvelous life lived 2,000 years ago. God made a plan whereby every city in that state and every neighborhood in that city, every house in that neighborhood, every factory in that neighborhood, and every school in that neighborhood, God made a marvelous plan so that everybody, no matter how far away they lived or how many years in the future they lived, could see the very life that Jesus lived 2,000 years ago. What did God do? Listen carefully. God let Jesus live that life in the power of the Holy Spirit. And God made that same Holy Spirit available to every single one of His children so that you and I may have that same Holy Spirit to conform us to His image as we look at the pattern in the mount and then say to this old sin-cursed world, this is what it was like. You never saw the love of Christ, but this is it. You never saw His mercy, but this is it. You never saw His forgiveness, but this is it. This is it. This is it. Every single person in this room this morning is commissioned by God Almighty to build your life according to that pattern in the mount that everybody that comes across your path may see what that life in heaven was exactly all about. I tried. God knows I did. I tried. I came across this truth years ago. I got every verse I could in the Bible. And I read every verse I could about the likeness of Christ. I read 1 John 4:17, as He is, so are we in this world. I read John 14:12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall do because of my Father. I read where he told us we're supposed to forgive like He forgave. And love like He loved. I read John 20:21, as the Father sent me, even so send I you. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And I tried to be like Him. But I failed. And then one day it dawned on me. It dawned on me what I had to do. I came to Romans 8:11.
If the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in your mortal bodies, this same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body with the Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead. And it dawned on me one time, that's not talking about a bodily resurrection. His bodily resurrection, not ours. For Romans chapter 8 deals with the rising from carnality to live a Spirit-filled life. One day it dawned on me the secret to living like Jesus and showing the world what Jesus was like was to do it in the energy of the Holy Spirit of God and yield myself to Him. Let's suppose this morning, this is Wednesday night type study, but let's suppose this morning, Brother Colston, I said to you, Brother Colston, I am. I want you to go to Rome. I want you to go to St. Peter's Basilica. I want you to go to the Vatican City there, and I want you to go in the Sistine Chapel where Michelangelo's Last Judgment drapes the ceiling and the wall of that chapel. Most amazing painting, I guess, in the entire world must be that amazing Last Judgment of Michelangelo. Suppose I said, Brother John, paint one like it. You'd go and you'd say, Preacher, I can't paint. I said, paint one like it. And you would try, but you'd fail. I suppose that by some miraculous way, Brother John, I could take the spirit of Michelangelo and transfer him into your body. And all of a sudden, with Michelangelo's spirit, you could pick up that brush and dip it in the paint. As day by day passed, one day we'd have an exact replica of the Last Judgment of Michelangelo. But then one day it dawned on me, as I was painting, 2 Corinthians 3:18 hit me. It says that we behold His face like unto a glass. It goes on to say that the Holy Spirit may perform in Him, in us, His likeness. And it dawned on me, I'm not even the painter. I'm just the canvas. All I can do is yield myself to the Holy Spirit. He's the painter. God said, Moses, I want you to build me a tabernacle. What kind, Lord? He said, come on up here. Come on up here. Moses climbed the rocky steeps of Sinai, ascended to the top, and God said, Moses, look up here. And God pulled back, opened the doors of heaven, and Moses saw a tabernacle. And God said, now, Moses, go back and build me one just like it. Every detail just like it. And one day the Lord God said to me, I have a plan for your life. I have a pattern in heaven. You have no right to be anything other than what that pattern is. Ask you a question today. Ask you a question. How near is your life to the pattern in the mount? I can see Cindy, when she was just a little girl, standing on the hearth of the fireplace, as little girls do when they sing, pulling her little skirt up immodestly, but not unholy. And she'd sing, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, all I ask, to be like Him, all through life's journey, through hill and valley, all I ask, to be like Him. Her dad, more than once, would go get in the car and drive around and say, oh my God, only hope that ever have to see Him is if we Christians live like Him. Every single child of God in this room whose name is written in heaven, washed in the blood of the Lamb, you ought to say this morning, from this moment forward, I'll have only one goal in life, and that goal is to look up to heaven and see that pattern in the mount, and try to fashion my life as best as I can according to the pattern in the mount. Our Heavenly Father, bless you.